All right. Well, we have been looking at the Holy Spirit, and I've got a little, I guess you'd call it a couple of words there that say, live like Jesus. How many of you sometimes find that difficult to do? You know, the Bible says that that's what we're destined to do. It's what God is working in us to do. But sometimes we struggle with having the power to do that. And as we talk about the Holy Spirit this week, we're going to take a look at the Holy Spirit and how He empowers us to be who we're supposed to be as children of God. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And sometimes we feel that power, and sometimes, how many of you feel like you need to be plugged in? I need a little extra juice. I need to feel God's presence a little more. My kitchen is filled with appliances, more than we use. How many of you are like that? You've bought things that you thought you would use, and you don't use them that much. Some things are kind of out of style now that we have microwaves, but we've got lots of appliances. They all different shapes, different functions, but they're all similar in one thing. Unless they're plugged into the very same source, they don't function the way they were designed to do. So in other words, if they're not plugged into the electrical socket, they cannot perform their function. Now, you can use them for some other things, and you can pile them up and use them as paperweights, or you can do other things, but they don't function the way that they were intended unless that they are plugged in. And you look at some of those appliances right there, and you just think, what good is a refrigerator if it's not plugged in? You can put that in the crock pot overnight. How many of you have ever put it on the crock pot overnight and forgot to plug it in or forgot to switch it on? Okay, I see some people laughing there. It doesn't do us too good if we're not plugged in. We've got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But in reality, the way the Bible talks about us is that when we're actually empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are supernatural. God gives us the ability to live life in a different way than is possible without the Spirit of God in our lives. And our power comes from the love of God, the love of Christ, and our connection with Him. So I want us to take a look a little bit at how that Holy Spirit empowers us, because all of us have had times in our life where we feel connected to God and we feel that assurance and that power of the Holy Spirit to do things that are difficult, to go through things that are difficult. And all of us have had those times where we feel disconnected from God and anxiety and worry and fear become so prominent that we wonder, where is God? And could He ever help us? Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Now, this is the difference between the appliances in my kitchen and the Christian life. The appliances in my kitchen, if I want them to work, I have to go to them, I have to take the cord, and I got to plug them in. But God does not force us to follow Him. If we want that connection and that power, we have to come to Him, and we have to follow Him. And when we look at what He did, He took everyone that He said, "Come and follow me," who responded with Him on the mission field. That's interesting, isn't it? He said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He said, "I will make you the what?" The light of the world. He said, "I will make you the salt of the earth." It's not what we make ourselves, but this is what God will do for us as we follow Him. And as He does that, He can't do it without empowering us. If we come to Him as an appliance, He's got to power us up if we're going to be a light, or if we're going to be salt. Whatever we do, when we're fishers of men, we have to have God's power. And God does the work of fishing for people. Our work is much simpler. Our work is simply to follow him and be the people that he wants us to be. It's why Jesus said this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my what? You will be my witnesses." Now, he doesn't say when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will now go witness. He says you will be the witnesses. In other words, witnessing is not something you do. Witnessing is something you are. If you've got a connection with God, if his Holy Spirit is filling your life with those fruits of the Spirit, if he is guiding you, you think, you act, you are different from everyone around you. And that light will shine. So God's focus is on the work that happens. Our focus is on who we are as his servants. And so he promises to make us witnesses. I love Ephesians 4:1. It says, "Lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Several years ago, I started noticing how much in the New Testament the word called is used. It's associated with so many things. As a matter of fact, if you don't hear God's call, you don't move to have a relationship with him. If you don't hear God's call and you're not following him, it is very, very difficult for you to find his will, to be in his will, or to find the things for your life that he wants. Everything is involved with God speaking, us hearing the call, and us following. And then God does his work. And it's a tremendous work in us. Our spiritual growth, our intimate knowledge of God, our power to live is connected to our submission to God and his goal or calling in our life. If you take away the calling of what God wants your life to be and how he wants to use you on this earth, you take away that connection, stopping our temporal and our earthly agendas, our quest to fulfill our own desires. How many of you find that difficult to stop? It is difficult to stop looking at things immediately. It is difficult to stop looking at the earthly agendas that we have. It's tough not to want things and not to focus on those things, but stopping those desires and turning in the opposite direction and following him with his eternal agenda for our lives and seeking to fulfill not our desires but his desires for our life, change everything with what God does in us and through us. We don't live for him to follow us. Although, I must admit, for a large part of my life, I tried to do the right things and have the things in life I wanted. I had agendas. I wanted to win football games. I wanted to advance up to bigger schools. I had agendas that were earthly for my life that, if I'm going to be honest, they were my primary objectives. I wanted to honor God while I was doing what I wanted to do. And I wanted him, because I honored him with my behavior, to follow me and bless me and fulfill my desires for life. But we follow him to serve him, to bless him, to be an honor to his name. So the question is, how do you do that? How does God do that in us? How does he empower us to live where we're thinking of him instead of thinking of ourselves? How many of you have a difficult time not thinking of yourself? Especially when something goes wrong. Especially when there's some circumstances that are tough. Our attention turns on ourselves, our needs, and our desires. How does God enable us to overcome that and to live a life in connection to him when the pressure is on us? How does he empower us to live like that? How did he do it for his disciples? Well, I remember a story in the Bible that all of you know, where Jesus put the disciples in a boat. And they went out in that boat and got caught in a huge storm. And they were terrified. And Jesus came, As a matter of fact, it happened with him twice. Once he walked on the water, once he was in the boat with him. But both times, what did he say to the storm? Be still. Be calm. And the waters calmed. And the disciples said this, who is this? Who is this we are in the boat with? Who is this Messiah? Who is this Christ? Who is this God that he can even control the winds and the waves? In a situation that looked impossible, God came in and he was still in control. Who is this? They paused. They connected with God. They saw him and realized who he was, and it sunk in. They asked that question, who is this? And they walked away with a different vision of who God was. Jesus healed a paralytic man that was lowered down in a mat. You remember that story through the roof? And they were in awe and they were amazed at who can do this. He cast a demon out of a mute man. And they were amazed and marveled at who could do this. The triumphal entry as he came in after he had been threatened and they had sought to kill him. He was actually hiding in the countryside. And they were discussing whether or not he would even dare to come. And he comes walking in with this huge parade, standing as the king. And they asked, who is this? Who is this? Pilate asked it at the trial, where he realized that he had been betrayed, he had been turned over to be beaten and to be executed was the desires of his enemies, and he stood there helpless, but yet unafraid, and he asked, who is this? Who is this? The Roman soldier at the crucifixion, after Jesus had died, after he saw the way he died and the connection that he had that enabled him to die with a heart different from any other man he'd ever crucified, which was probably a lot. He said, this surely must be the Son of God. And that is what it is talking about empowering us to be his witnesses. It's not giving us a motivation to go do something. It is giving us a motivation to pursue and to be something, to be worthy of the name of the children of God, which we have been given by his great grace. We know, Romans 8:28 says, that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Even if we're not able, even if we don't understand, if our hearts are set to follow God and honor him, and we see ourselves as his servants, willing to do whatever he wants us to do in whatever situation we're in, God never lets us down. God always works in our lives, and we have that presence of knowing that he is pleased with us that enables us to face life with peace, with joy, with hope, with faith. Even though we are weak, he is strong. And his strength gives us the ability to know that no matter what it looks like, God is good. God is at work. God has not abandoned us. God has a purpose. I am willing to serve and walk with him through whatever he leads me because I know the end will be good. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become what? Like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's the light. Jesus Christ was the reflection of God, the exact reflection of his Father. And his desire for us is that we are transformed in the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act, until we are a reflection of what is in his heart. He reveals to us by his Spirit his great love for us and his great plan for us. Galatians 4:6 says this, God has sent his Spirit into our hearts, prompting us to call out what? Abba Father, Daddy. For us to be able to realize that God loves us more than anyone else ever could, beyond our imagination, that His mercy is unfailing, that His purposes are great, that no matter where we go or what we do, our Father who loves us is right there with us. And our hearts cry out, Father, Abba Father. He reveals that we are His children, that He loves. 1 John 3:1 says, see how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we really are. In 3:16, it says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us. As we see God's great love, as we feel God's great love, as we understand the meaning of why He came and died for us on that cross, that if He would do that, He will never leave us or forsake us. And 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. And so our hearts become filled with the awareness of how much God loves us. And if God could be for us, then who can be against us? Who can stand against us if the Creator of the universe loves us as His child? And God poured out His love into our hearts by His Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. That love of God comes and overwhelms us, and it captures our imagination. His presence captures our focus. And He suddenly changes us to feel His love and to give His love. My father had a saying. He said, if it doesn't boil down to love, it's not the real thing. Paul said it differently. He said, the goal of our instruction is love. And God wants to pour His heart and His love onto us and to change our hearts so that His love fills our hearts and we pour it out. Romans 2:29 explains it when it says, a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. That's what makes us a witness. When we realize how much God loves us, when we realize that Christ showed His love by giving His life for us, when we realize that He is with us no matter what, He cares about us, He is interested in every detail of our lives, He is always at work, working everything for our good and for His good, because we follow Him as His children, then we are no longer afraid of what other people think. We are focused on God's great love and returning that love. The Holy Spirit does this in us just like He did in Jesus. He makes our Heavenly Father's eternal presence more valuable than the temporary things of this world. He makes us unafraid and bold for the awe-inspiring God. And we desire to love Him as He loved us. John 7:13 talks about people who do not have the Spirit of God in their hearts. And it says that no one spoke of Him openly for fear of the Jews. In other words, they realize everybody is not gung-ho about Jesus. I need to be careful about letting my allegiances be known because I might offend someone and might inhibit some of the things that I would like to see happen for myself if I offend others. Now, honestly, how many of you don't talk about politics everywhere right now? For fear that you might offend someone and lose a friendship. God forbid that we do that with our Heavenly Father. That we do not show our allegiance to Him because we are afraid of what others who are unbelievers might think. Here's what they said of Jesus. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not Him whom they seek to kill? But look, He speaks boldly. And they saw nothing, and they say nothing to Him. Do the rulers know indeed that He is truly the Christ? That's really interesting, isn't it? What they saw in Jesus is this. He had an allegiance and a connection to God that nothing in this world would threaten. He didn't care what anyone said. He didn't care what happened. He didn't care if he died on that cross. He was not going to deny his Father. He was not going to deny the truth. He would not turn his back on God because God the Father meant more to him than everything in the world. And they saw he was bold in his beliefs, in his convictions, and it came out in the things he said and he did. Even though he was so gentle, he wouldn't even crush a simple thing. Well, God still lives in us. Our light is about who we are. Who we are as the children of God. And what he has done to transform our hearts and our minds into the image and the reflection of Christ, just as Christ did for the Father. And this is seen and displayed in difficult circumstances. God still gives us the power to walk on water. 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22 says this, "It is God who gives us, along with you, the ability to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned and given us and identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts." God allows us in many, many difficult situations in this world, but he never leaves us. And he, through his Spirit, gives us the ability to stand firm. We stand firm because we know him. We stand firm because our hearts draw closer to him as pressures mount. We don't turn. I've had many conversations with people in very, very difficult situations. And it is easy to recognize the Spirit of God inside those people. Even at times when they can't recognize it themselves. Because all of us feel pressured, and all of us have emotions, and when things go bad, all of us get jittery. All of us feel fear. All of us feel apprehension. All of us have to struggle through whether we are going to go on in the flesh or whether we are going to stay true to God. All of us have the temptation. All of us struggle with it. But as I sit down and talk with people, it is amazing how I can see the Spirit of God in people and just know as the conversation is going, they're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. They want to sometimes. They think there's no sense in life sometimes, but there's something inside, even as they talk, that you can sense. They may want to get it out, and they may need some encouragement, and that's why God put us around each other, isn't it? But they know, and I know, as we are talking, that somehow, after everything gets out, they know they're going to pick up the ball and keep walking. They know they're not leaving. They know that they're not quitting. They know that they are going to stay there and they are going to push through and they are going to hope God comes through, even though he's taken them to a place that's beyond their faith at the moment. We got a lot of people sitting in this room that many of you have seen and know they have been in that situation. We've had people who've been diagnosed with some pretty tough news. We've had people who have been laid off from their jobs. We've had people who have had struggles in their marriages. We have had people who have had struggles with their children. We've had people who have been in places where they were underneath people who treated them very, very unfairly, and they saw no way out. And they all have a choice. They have a choice of whether or not they are going to fight for their rights or whether they are going to lay it at God's feet and trust him to see them through. And we've got a lot of people sitting in this congregation who can give testimony that God has seen them through. And we need that because we've got others in this room who are going through it right now. And they need that testimony. They need that light. They need that salt that makes them thirsty to be in God's presence and to know that peace and to have that joy of knowing that God will be with them no matter what. And even if they do pass on, it will be better because God is working it for their good. God will not let them down. God will stand strong. A little boy one time was trying to pick up a rock. Big old boulder. It was too big for him. He worked. He wanted to get that rock out because he wanted to. How many of you have been with kids? They want to throw it in the river, right? Why that is, I don't know. But when I was a kid, it was like that too. If I had a rock and there was a river, it had to go in there. And once you start throwing rocks in there, you know, a little splash, it's not enough. I want the big splash. I want the splash that goes so big it gets up there and it splashes mom and dad. Isn't that how you guys were? I want that thing to go up over my head. And so this kid's got this rock, and he is trying to get this rock up there, and his dad sees him struggling with the rock. And he struggles and struggles, and then he just throws up his hand and quits. And his dad said, "No, son, don't quit. You can do it." And so he said, "I can't do it. It's too heavy." He said, "You can do it. You can do it." And so he starts struggling again. And to do that rock, he goes, finally gets tired. He just goes like this. He says, "Don't stop, son. You can do it." He said, "Dad, I can't do it. It's too heavy for me." He says, "You can do it." And so he works again. Finally again, he quits. His dad says, "Don't quit, son. You can do it." He said, "Dad, I can't do it. I've tried." He said, "Son, you can do it." He said, "How do you know I can do it?" He said, "Because you haven't used all the strength available to you." He says, "I've pulled with everything I've got." He says, "Well, you haven't asked me to help yet." A lot of times, when we lay those things in God's hands, we find out there was much more strength available for us to go through things than we thought. And God's Spirit can bring us through many, many things. And He can help us. I just wonder in this room right here, and I know we don't usually do this, but I wonder in this room right here, how many of you can stand to your feet as a testimony just to say, "I have been in a place where everything in my life seemed to have crumbled, where every resource I had was not enough, where I thought I could never go on, where I saw no way possible. And all I could do was turn to God and ask for help. And somehow, His Spirit in my heart, somehow, I got the strength to go on. And God lifted me out of that." I wonder how many of you right now, just as a testimony, to say, "That is me," can stand. Take a look around you. That's a light. That's a salt. That's what God is doing. That's the Holy Spirit making you a witness. And some people sitting here may not know you so much, and they may look around and they may say, "Well, I don't understand." But I'll guarantee you, everyone who knows you and knew your struggle, they saw God in it. They saw Christ in it. I'm going to let you sit down for just a second. I've got one last slide. Because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That's what empowering is. When we talk about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's not about fixing our problems. Sometimes God intends those problems. It's to His glory. That man was born blind, and he lived that way for 40 years for God's glory, because of what God wanted to do in and through him at a specific time. The battle is not about changing the circumstances or making life comfortable or easy again. Servants don't look for a comfortable life. Servants inconvenience themselves to serve their master. We're not afraid to have to do a little work to bless our Heavenly Father who loves us so much. The struggle is whether or not we will choose to sin and separate ourselves from God, or whether we will turn to Him. Are the circumstances so much that I cannot do anything but be angry at God because I didn't get my way? Or that I cannot think about God because I am so preoccupied, I can't let go of anything because I can't trust God will be able to set it through. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm going to worry myself till I'm exhausted and I'm in the hospital. The choice is about whether or not the power of sin will take all of my thoughts away from what God wants me to do and wants my life to be and focus it all on what I think I have to have at this moment to make it. And because we belong to Him, because of our relationship with Him, the power of that life-giving Spirit frees us from being sucked into the circumstances. God is still calling people to get out of the boat and walk on the water, to overcome those circumstances. You know, I got a cell phone, like most of you. I talk on it way too much. I talk on it all the time. But you know, about every, and I've got a good one now. My battery lasts 2 days. I used to have one that went dead about 5 o'clock every day. And I get phone calls past 5 o'clock. So I got a phone now. It goes 2 days. But you know what? Even going 2 days, if I just keep talking and I don't plug that thing back in, you know what happens? I can't talk at all anymore. I can't function. I can't communicate. I can't do anything that phone was designed to do. Well, I'm the phone. And God wants to speak through my life, and He speaks through my life by how I respond to difficult circumstances. How I process life, because He is my Father. And I have to regularly plug back in. If I cannot stop and, like the disciples, just pause and look at God and say, "Who is this? He is greater than I ever imagined. I never thought God could see me through this." That gives me the faith and the boldness to follow Him through even more difficult circumstances because of the relationship that I allowed myself to be aware of. It's how God builds our faith and gives us the ability when things come in to say, "I know I'm tempted to turn away from God, but I know from past experiences, He's always been greater than I thought He was. And I know this is a moment for God to show me something about Himself and who He is beyond what I had ever thought before." And so I turn to Him. That's the life-giving power of the Spirit. Well, we're going to have our band come back up here, and we're going to give us just a second to let Alan hobble up. We just never can get away from tough circumstances, can we? Hopefully they're all smaller like that, but it's difficult. And I'm just going to pray as they're coming up here, and then I'm going to ask you to stand. But let's pray. Father, we need Your power to live life with a full heart. The thief comes to steal and destroy. He wants to rob us of all of the eternal, true, valuable things in life, which are experiencing Your love and letting Your power fill us so that we can experience real love with others. And the thief wants to steal that from us. He wants us to be so self-absorbed and occupied that we destroy all the things that are meaningful in our lives. We waste them all away. But God, we don't want that. We want life in all its fullness. We want to experience that love relationship with you that is more valuable than any earthly treasure. We want to experience your love in a way that we would readily and easily trade everything in life for just a moment with you. And Father, we see a glimpse of that love because you have shown us what is in your heart through the crucifixion of Jesus, and the resurrection gives us that hope. And so, Father, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to help us. We open our hearts to you right now, and we cry out and ask you, as the only one who truly can love like you do, to take our hearts and our lives, fill us with your love, wipe our hearts clean, and fill us with that same love for you and for others. We give ourselves to you in Christ's name, and we ask for your help, and we ask your Spirit to empower us to live as you want us to. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.